Good morning, and to those who are present, those who may be listening. Today our message is titled, Order My Steps, and a good thing to do, and that is to not ask one another to order our steps, but to ask God to order our steps. No matter what we're doing, Brian, no matter what our occupations are or what our occupations are not, we're all to be occupied in the business of glorifying the Lord wherever we are. So we need to be asking the Lord, like David did, to make sense out of this. Order my steps today, because I want to tell you all, I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. I don't want to order Mark. I don't want Mark to order my steps. We've done that, and we've really messed up. David had an experience where his passions got the best of him. He went after Bathsheba, and that was not ordered by the Lord. He did that. His passions got a hold of him. He could have had, you know, any woman he wanted, but he wanted her. So precious Uriah, he sends him to the front lines, orders the troops to withdraw, and basically he signed his execution. But there were penalties for that, and David suffered greatly for that, or repercussions from the depths of that sin. But God did forgive him. The passionate God that we have, God did forgive him. And the Bible even says that David was a man after God's heart. And so he has a lot to say. He has a lot to share with us here in our lives about it is in our best interest to ask God to order our steps today, and we don't get in trouble. So a lot of us have been in trouble in our mind, if not in action. You know what I'm talking about. Anybody can go anywhere in your mind. So we need to be just tweaking, hanging out with Jesus, seeking His face more and more every day, for the Lord to do the talking, for the Lord to do the thinking, you know, put on the mind of Christ, for the Lord to do the dreaming. When we go to bed at night, Lord, protect me, watch over me, even in my sleep, for the Lord to do the dreaming. I ask God for dreams. I ask God for revelation when I sleep. And sometimes still, I will have a frightful and fearful dream. And I did last night too. Someone or something was trying to smother me, and I woke up with a shriek or a yell, and I didn't know if Shirley heard me or not, but then now that I say that, she thought she heard something, but I definitely, it was verbal. But the enemy is there. Even though we're asking God for help, watch over us, protect us when we sleep, we'll have moments of fears and things that come upon us. Don't think that that's strange, but that does not come from the Lord. So I want the Lord to order my mouth. I want Him to order my dreams. I want Him to order my goals. I want Him to order my speech. I want Him to order my steps. Steps represent you, everything you do. And so there is concern in my heart, and I know there's concern with the Lord, the living God, that we are experiencing a time on earth when a country, in a very few short years, have gone from predominantly wanting God to order our nation to now wanting God to be left out of our business, and we can handle this. Very, very serious day that we're living. Not everybody feels that way. There are multitudes of Christians, but I'm talking about from a legislative, from a law making, from our courts, from our Congress and Senate. A lot of folks are wanting to handle this our way, and we don't want to bother God. See, we don't want to bother Him. We can do this. We can do it with money. We can do it with brains. We can do it with our college and our institutions, and we can brain through this. David tells us, we'll get into that just a little bit later, that's not a good idea. We need to really seek the face of God. I know that we are not a legislative body here, the church, but we can make a great deal of difference in who we elect in our country, who our legislatures are, who our senators are, who our lawmakers are, who our judges are, and all these people involved in law enforcement, etc., in elected offices. We can make a difference as a church as to who we want to put in office. And the key there is for the multitudes of people to be Christians and be God-fearing people. And if they're not, they're going to vote differently. But I want to share something with you that is, I mean, it's just like not losing step with what I feel in my heart today with comments here by Franklin Graham in the little magazine they put out 9 times a year called The Connector. And I want to share with you something that Franklin Graham said about the state, sort of like a state of the union, the spiritual state of our union. And I wholeheartedly agree with him. And just a couple things right here, and then we're going to go on to some other things here. The United States is at a spiritual and moral crossroads. Change has been taking place, and it's not the kind of change we want. Government at every level is increasingly dismissive, and even hostile to God and the role of faith in civic and political affairs. The moral fabric of our country is slowly but steadily unraveling, eroding, degrading. As Bible-based morality, the very foundation of our nation is seen as irrelevant and intolerant. I mean, it's just amazing, but we're witnessing it. Our courts and schools continue to suppress public expressions of faith, eroding the hard-earned freedoms secured by earlier generations. Hard-earned, life-given, you know, for the principles that we stand for. I am reminded of the words of Abraham Lincoln, who, in a time of grave national peril, proclaimed that our nation should set aside a day for corporate prayer to confess our sins. Now, here's some things, quote, that Lincoln said. Lincoln said that as we acknowledge our transgressions, we should do so yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Thank you, Abraham Lincoln. But I don't think we're hearing our politicians quoting Abraham Lincoln with such quotes. This is Abraham Lincoln, we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. We did this. You know, what's God had to do with this? Look out. We have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us. It behooves us then to confess our national sins and pray for clemency and forgiveness. Are you hearing this being proclaimed on our networks other than Fox? Other than Christian radio, America is a nation that has largely forgotten God, has abandoned the faith of our founders, and is pursuing a godless agenda. Oh, don't say that. That's not true. We're a godly nation. Well, I'm saying it because it is true. We have godly people, and we were more godly than we are now, but we're becoming less godly. That's the way it is. I see the exercise of raw political power without any sense of humility and dependence on God.
Amen.
Well said. That's not a quote from Lincoln. This is what Franklin Graham said after that quote. It says, I see the exercise of raw political power without any sense of humility and dependence on God. Just print more George Washington's, print more Lincoln's, print more Hamilton's, print, print, print. We are going to brain our way. We're going to empower ourselves with agendas and enactments of laws. We are America. Wow. God sees it all too. My mother used to enjoy pointing out God's response to all the schemes of the wicked one in Psalm 2:4. Psalm 2:4 says, "He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them for their arrogance." His mother used to remind him of that. Lord laughs at such arrogance. God is not afraid of the enemy or Satan or what's going on in this earth. He is not intimidated by it. But he does want what? What does God really want? He doesn't fear all. It's impossible. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. What does God really want, though? What is his objective? What's his goal? Obedience. Who said obedience? He wants obedience, and that will result in what? Obedience to God will result in what? It will result in salvation. It will result in a life in harmony with him and his laws, his ways.
That none should perish, but all would come to
repentance. But none that should perish. For God so loved the world.
Gather his chicks under his wing again.
Oh, Jerusalem, how Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but you would not. You stoned the prophets that I sent to you. You mock my way, my law, my word. You mock it. But I don't want that. But if that's what you want, I'm not going to download a non-free will in you and make you do something like a robot or a puppet. I don't want that kind of relationship. I want a relationship based upon your love for me. I'm not going to make you love me, even though if you don't want to do it my way, you don't get on your knees, you will go to a place of eternal torment called hell. And for those who obey me, will go to eternal bliss in heaven with me. Neither one, anyone's experienced here, but they're there. Paul did say, he mentioned, I knew a man 14 years ago who, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, or in the spirit, out of the spirit, I don't know, but he said he heard he was caught up to the third heaven and heard inexpressible word he couldn't repeat. So there was a taste there, a great revelation. And so, wow. God knows exactly what his purposes and plans are for this nation and for its people. He is steadfastly at work accomplishing his agenda that will ultimately bring him glory and prepare the way for his soon return. Until he does, prayer is a mighty weapon he has entrusted to us. Charles Spurgeon said, "Prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence." Oh, we need to pray. It's not we're going to sit back and do nothing and just let, you know, Satan bulldoze our vineyards in the Lord. No. Where you go, where you are, what you do, you need to represent Christ. Lord, should I give? Lord, should I not give? Lord, should I speak? Should I not speak? What should I do, Lord? What do you want me to do right now today? And God will give you orders what to do if you're listening. And when you don't, what's going to happen? If you do not go by God's order in your life, what's going to happen to you? What is God going to do that is so wonderful? He's going to convict you that you're not listening. And so, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And God's going to convict you until you turn around and do what he bids you to do. It's called conviction. And he will discipline you for that. He's not going to throw you away. But he will bring you, through that experience, closer to him. So Franklin Graham, it's like a no-brainer. A minister should be hearing this from the Lord, and I'm grateful that he is. I'm grateful he's not giving us a message that it's all well, it's okay. You know, God's going to turn America's going to be here forever. Watch out. Watch out. In our message today, once again, order my steps. Who said that? And so let's look at that, where he said it, and let me give you just a little intro here. David said that. David said that in Psalm 119. But let me share something with you about Psalm 119, and that is so powerful here. Now, in Psalm 119, in all 176 verses, you will see just one verse after another that is not directly related to the verse before it, but it is, they are verses that are like, and Matthew Henry made a comment, it says, Psalm 119 is a treasure chest of gold rings, not a chain of gold links. Seldom any coherence between the verses. They're just gold rings. Gold ring, gold ring, gold ring, gold ring, not gold links. You understand what I'm saying? And so each one is a nugget. You don't have to sit there and say, well, gee, what's that verse has to do with the other verse? Well, it has a lot to do with the other verse in this respect, that it all has to do with God's order, God's law, God's way. That's what they all had to do with. And some have said of Psalm 119 that he shall read it considerably, that he who reads it will either read it considerably, and it will either warm him or it will shame him. So, I mean, what does David have to do with writing Psalm 119? And they think it was like a collection of a lot of his thoughts along the way and his life, and from messing up deeply with Bathsheba, and you know, that son dying 7 days later, and on and on and on, a lot of trouble in his life, but he was a man after the heart of God. And here he comes in Psalm 19, along with a lot of, most of the other psalms, and he has something to say. He has something to say to a nation that is marginalizing God, where you better not keep doing that. You better bring God closer, not put him on the perimeter. You better bring God to your life, you know, politicians, America. You better get on your knees here. And so I just want to share something with you that in Psalm 119 that I noticed as I looked at it, and it says the very first verse of Psalm 119, and look at the very last verse of Psalm 119. So if someone want to read the very first verse of Psalm 119, and then I'll get somebody to read the very last verse. Lisa, you want to read the very first verse, and then someone want to, Mary, you want to read the very last verse.
Okay, this is from the Amplified. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied are the undefiled, the upright, truly sincere, and blameless in the way of the revealed will of God, who walk, order their conduct and conversation in the law of the Lord, the whole of God's revealed will.
Who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, that's the first thing he says. He's talking about God's order, God's law, God's way. He mentions the word law there. Now, look at the last verse, 176. Mary, what does Psalm 119, 176 say?
I have wandered away like a lost sheep.
Okay, so here we go. The very first verse is talking about God's commandments. I have wandered away like a sheep. And the very last verse talks about God's commandments again. So what's going on between this sandwich of the first verse and verse 176? All in between, except for one verse, 122, he's talking about, and I went through, and I'm gonna write down, you don't have to write these, you listen to them if you want, but this is what I found in every verse except for verse 122, what he wants to talk about between the law of God to begin with and the commandments of God to end with. He's talking about the law of God, and that is what's in between this sandwich. How important, how much weight is David putting on this? In 176 verses, in addition to all the other psalms that David was involved in, all the things he had to say about God's way is better than our way. God's way is better than my way. I've been there. I've tasted the bitterness of sin. I've hated it. I just deplore it. I can't believe I did it. But now I really put weight in Psalm 119. I think maybe, I don't know, tonight on ABC, NBC, all of them, they'll just read Psalm 119. Oh, pray tell, we would never do that. Are you crazy? Yeah, for Jesus. Have you lost your mind? Yeah, for Jesus. Who brainwashed you? Jesus. At least he, I know, washed my brain. I went through, just hold your horses just a minute, just listen. I went through on every verse, out of all those verses, except for 122. He talks about God's testimonies, God's ways, God's law to begin with, his precepts, his statutes, his commandments, his righteous judgments, his word, his ordinances, his counsel, his wonders, his faithful way, his liberty, his comfort, his songs, his compassion. When I say his, I'm talking about God. His loving kindness, his salvation, his name, his truth, his peace, his understanding, his deliverance. And I read through every verse that way, and that's what I came up with. It's just incredible that David sees such importance in this, having experienced the agony of defeat, and having also experienced God's mercy and God's forgiveness and pardon. He wants the world to know. And here we have the advantage of the Old Testament being fulfilled, whereas he's working with the scrolls of the five books of the beginning of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And so here we're working a little bit back off the earth here and seeing what's happened so far with Jesus did come, and Jesus did, you know, the root of Jesse, you know, the root of David came and did all this, yet he realizes this. He's in communion with God, and he's expressing the importance of obedience to the Lord and for the Lord to do some ordering here in the midst of all this chaos. We need God's order. He knew that. I'm blessed by reading this. I remember one time in church we read all of, one time we were here, Linda and Frank, we were together, we reread Psalm 119. It's just incredible. Over and over again, all these things that I listed to you are there in every verse except for 122. And so, order, what is it? In the world, we got to have order. You know you got to have order. David says, order my steps, and we're going to see that in just a moment. A condition of methodical or prescribed arrangement among component parts such that proper functioning or appearance is achieved. Boy, isn't that true with an automotive engine, Brian? I mean, everything has to work together. And when it doesn't, it clings, it clangs, and blah, blah, blah. It will not work because it has to be harmoniously working together to achieve the power that is desired from that engine, the horsepower. If it's not, if you got some components that are not there in sync, then we have problems. We have to go to the mechanic to see what it is, just like our bodies. This is a better example. This is created by God. We made the engines, and through, you know, God giving us the brain to make the engines out of the materials of the earth. But God made this, and it is incredible. It's just, of all people, physicians, anybody having to do with anything to do with physics and all these things that are so established by God, they ought to be the first believers. It's just, wow, you know, astronomers. You know, and then here we go with order. It's another portion of this. It's a condition in which freedom from disorder or disruption is maintained through respect for established authority. If not ruled by God, you will be governed by tyranny, or vice versa. If you're not governed by God, you'll be ruled by tyranny. What it both works. And that's the way it is. And David said, I want to be ruled by you. I've done my thing. It's not just that the only mistake David ever made was with Bathsheba. He's a human being. He understood that the error is within us anytime we want to exercise it. But he wants now so desperately for the law of God to rule and reign his life. Another thing that I did, I went through Psalm 119, and I just wrote down some key scriptures that I marked that I'm going to repeat. I'm not going to read all Psalm 119, but I'm just going to read some ones that really, really, I mean, they're all powerful. But I'm just going to read to you some that really perhaps will edify us here today, because we're just here for a little while, and we go and we try to apply what we hear. All right, in Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? What did David know about that? Well, he strayed from that. How can a young man keep his way pure? Somebody want to answer that? Your Bible, what do you have there? That's the question. What's the answer?
By living according to your word.
There it is, God's word. You're going to hear all those things that I labeled. Anytime we read any of these scriptures, you're going to hear one of those profound laws of God, ordinance of God, testimonies of God. How can a young man keep his way pure? Can we all say that together? And we're talking about young ladies as well. We're talking about humankind, right? How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Don't you think that would be important for every student in our schools today to hear? I mean, for Mary to be sanctioned and to be backed, to have the principal there with making sure that all teachers read this to the class at the beginning of the year, and maybe after every month or whatever, or the first of every day of every week, to all teachers to read this. How can a young man, how can a young lady keep her way pure? By keeping it according to God's word. Wouldn't it be good for them to hear that? Instead, we want to tear that out. We can't say that. We don't want to offend. But it's the only way to keep yourself pure, by keeping according to God's word. Not what the mayor says, not what the president says, not what somebody whatever says, the National Education Association. But what does God say? And we want to tear that out. When we tear that out, we're tearing out the heart of our children. There's going to be a responsibility for that. There's going to be accountability for that, for tearing this information that they need away from them. I believe with all my heart. I could not be the head of the NEA, National Education, if they did not let me express my convictions according to God's word. I said, forget it. You don't want me. Verse 11. Let you all read a little bit here. It's so powerful. Who has that one? Verse 11. Anyone open to that? Or if you want to. Ted, you had that? Or?
Yeah. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
And then New American Standard says, thy word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Isn't this good information for everyone to hear?
It's a New American version?
That's New American Standard Bible. And anyone else have a New Living? Mary?
I have thought much about your words and have stored them in my heart so that they would hold me back from sin.
I have thought much about your word. Oh, golly, Mary, that just fears in me. Oh, read that again just a minute, honey. Yes, Nessie. Yeah, go ahead, Mary, one more time. That's so powerful.
I have thought much about your words and have stored them in my heart so that they would hold me back from sin.
Oh.
And what is that version?
Hold me back. It's so good when you can take the bridle off a horse or a muzzle off a dog and just talk to them. Just tell them what you want them to do. And they do it. And so, here, I thought much about your word that it holds me back. The word holds me, not from, external, but internal. I'm held back because I fear. I trust you, Lord, that you know what is best for me. Nessie?
Your word hath I laid up on my heart, that I might not sin against you.
Wow. Then I don't know what translates it, but it's very similar. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Against who? God, thee. How about verse 18? Wow. Carolyn, back to you.
Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law.
Oh, wow, isn't that a good thing for our kids to learn? Open my eyes. I pray that all the time. Lord, help me to see what I just cannot see. Or at least I just don't see it that way. And let's just say Lisa's speaking pure Spirit of God. I just don't see it that way. Well, you need to ask God whether she's speaking by the Spirit or not, because you may need to hear what she has to say. Open my ears, open my eyes, open my understanding, because I'm just not getting it. Is that possible for all of us? And a lot of times, if somebody does say something, even by the Spirit of God, and you're not wanting to hear it, you don't like what they're saying anyhow. Because if you rebuke a fool, he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. He'll respect you all the more so. Mary, what's that say in verse 18?
Open my eyes to see wonderful things in your word.
All these wonderful things we are withholding from the generation that is coming up. There's going to be accountability for that. Ted?
Please read 21.
Thou dost rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from thy commandments. Oh, there's a lot of stuff in between here, Ted. They're so powerful. But the Lord does rebuke those who wander from his commandments in a most powerful way. You know, not only in verse 18 are we saying that, open my eyes that I may behold the wonderful things from thy law. What about, what does abortion do? They never have an opportunity to even open their eyes to see the ways of God, and millions are being aborted every year. What are you talking about? Open my eyes, and this is a good thing that God wants to do. But we have laws where we want to close their eyes, not even to open their eyes, and keep them closed from even seeing or beholding the Lord. Oh, the Lord sees that too, and he knows all those that are been aborted, and he knows exactly their name before they even fashion. God knows these children. But Ted, yes, correct, absolutely. The Lord does rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, and who wander from thy commandments. Very serious. Verse 23. Linda, you got that?
Even though princes sit and talk against me, thy servant meditates on thy statutes.
Okay, are we witnessing that? Even though princes sit and talk against me, thy servant meditates on thy statutes. See, princes, people in authority, people who have, you know, the will, the power to rule it over the people, and even though they sit and talk against me, thy servant meditates on thy statutes. We don't need to be offended because networks are talking against Christians. I mean, they got, you know, they are where they are. They're in their seat of power. They get to speak and just goes to millions of people. Even though princes talk, you know, they sit there and they talk against me. It says, thy servant meditates on thy statutes. So the church needs to, hey, you know, let them do what they want to do. They're going to reap what they sow. The church does not need to be alarmed or offended, like Shirley said earlier. We know what we stand for, and that's going to limit what we fall for. So we just need to be confident to know that's the way it is. That's the liberal media. That's what they're going to do. That's where they're heading. That's where the inbreeding of that is going to produce more of that. That's all the people who program them, what they're going to say. Liberal, liberal, liberal. Out with God, out with God, out with God. And now we're beginning to see the results of that. Very serious. God's judgment is against that. For even though they sit and talk against me, I will meditate upon thy, there again, statutes. You know, many different ways, synonymous ways to say law or statutes or ordinances over and over again. All right, now look at verse 32. And very powerful. Mary?
If you will only help me to want your will, then I will follow your laws even more closely.
And say that again, please.
If you will only help me to want your will, then I will follow your laws even more closely.
And the New American Standard, I shall run the way of thy commandments. for thou wilt enlarge my heart. Wow. Carolyn, you got that one?
I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free.
Ooh. How many of you are your hearts being set free as you are understanding God's order coming to your life? How many of you have a larger heart? You're understanding more, Lord, as you ask God to order your life. How many of you are experiencing verse 32? We just read verse 32, Lisa. If you've got it, read it yourself, if you would, and let us hear that again.
You want me to read it? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Sorry. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart.
I shall run the way of thy commandments, for thou wilt enlarge my heart. Wow. It is a running, isn't it? I don't know. when I played basketball in my life, but I like sports and athletics. I even played tennis a couple rounds. Linda, a couple rounds of tennis. I remember a runner all over the place. But we had fun playing. Remember that? I forgot all about that. You know, but run. You know, run the course. Paul talks about athletes running the course. And so here we run also. We run to him. We want him to enlarge this, to expand our tent, expand our knowledge, expand our understanding. God, you order my life. I'm tired of doing it. I just make a mess out of it. I want to do it your way this time. And so David, just over and over again, in verse 32, he says, I shall run the way of thy commandments, thou wilt enlarge my heart. It's awesome. We're growing. No more do we have to look back and fear what Satan has put on us. No longer. We can go on from here. We can get over it. And God has forgiven us and cleansing us, and now we just got more room for Him. More room, more room. I invite you, Lord, come in. Make this heart your home. And verse 46, I will also speak of thy testimonies. Before kings I shall not be ashamed. Wow, that sounds like us. What? Speaking to what? Authority, kings, government, people who make decisions for us. It says, I will also speak of thy testimonies before kings, and I shall not be ashamed. I shall not, what? Be quiet. I shall speak. I will stand up. I will vote for what is right. I will live for what is right. I shall speak to kings. I think that one's self-explanatory. And Psalm 67. Wow. This is a good one. Before I was afflicted, what did I do?
I went astray.
But now I keep thy word. I think there's a difference. David's speaking here than he was when he messed up with Bathsheba. Experience, life, being on earth sometimes just will give you greater knowledge than what you had when you were young and foolish at times. Isn't that true with all of us? How many of you like to have the brain that you have now back then? Wouldn't it be so cool among your peers and stuff, and you're going along with all the foolishness and stuff, and they're just doing what, and you're just sitting there with all that wisdom in your brain after several years going back in time, and you're sitting there and going, gee, why would you want to do that? But you back there would do it. Oh, golly, isn't this powerful? Mary, what's it say in yours, 67?
I used to wander off until you punished me. Now I closely follow all you say.
Wow. Well said. I closely follow. I closely follow. You know, you ever play follow the leader? You stay right behind them, no matter where they go. You stay right behind them. You know, he's the leader. We follow him. Wow. That was powerful. All right, verse 71. And wow, look at this. Verse 71. Carolyn?
It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees.
And 72.
The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold.
And yet this itself is a gold ring. What we're hearing is a gold ring. See, all these are gold rings. It's not a chain of rings. It's a gold ring, each one of them. Isn't that wonderful? Here, just put it on your fingers. Be reminded. Get in your heart. Get the goal that God has for you. And here it is in verse 71. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. Isn't it? Offer me $1 million today in exchange for my salvation. Say, no, you're not going to go to heaven, but I'll give you $1 million. I will give you $14 trillion if you'll just follow me. No, I don't think so. Give me a dollar to follow you, I won't do it. Or a penny, I won't do it. 83. Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget thy statutes. Now, 83, somebody make sense out of that. If you want to comment on that, does that make sense to you? Though I have become, it says, like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget thy statutes. Anybody want to comment on that?
Amplified, don't remember.
Yes.
Okay. For I have become like a bottle, a wineskin blackened and shriveled in the smoke in which it hangs, yet do I not forget your statutes.
Yeah, can you imagine a wineskin just hanging in the smoke? Drying it out and leathery and crinkly and just drying out. Though I have become like that, I do not what? Forget thy statutes. See, every one of these is going to be something to do with law, statutes, testimonies, whatever. And how many of you ever been there? I mean, felt like you're just a wineskin hanging in the smoke, man. I'm dry. But the Lord goes to desert places, right? He rides through the desert. He brings water. He brings relief. This is what our government needs to do. Our world needs to do. Ask God to bring order to this life. And verse 89, we're almost done with all these, but I mean, we're hopping around these, but we're not reading every one for sure. Verse 89. Carolyn?
Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
Wow. Wouldn't that be good for our young people to know? Wouldn't it be good for the church to know? It stands forever. Don't vet it. Don't deny it. God's word. Get it, get it, get it. Verse 105. Oh, very powerful. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I mean, who on earth does not need light? Who does not need illumination? We want to keep that from our children. We want to keep it from our nation. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In verse 113 through verse 116, I hate those who are double-minded, but I love thy law. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I wait for thy word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe thy commandments of my God. Sustain me according to thy word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Wow. Verse 133. Establish my footsteps in thy word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Now, here it is. This is the title of our message today. Order my steps, David says. In the King James Version, it says, order my footsteps in thy word, and do not let any iniquity have what over me?
Rule,
dominion, control. What, Mary?
Have me with your laws so that I will not be overcome by evil.
Overcome by evil. Establish my footsteps in thy word, order my footsteps in thy word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Wow. How many of you at times can wake up in the morning and there is some iniquity there wanting to dominate you? And that's why he is saying, look, I know what I'm talking about. God, order my steps today. Order my thoughts, order my mouth, order my life, that I will not have iniquity have dominion over me today, because I'm really getting ready to let it rip because I got out of bed wrong. Anybody ever get out of bed wrong? And then one, you stub your toe, whatever, and you go in the bathroom and all of a sudden you reach up in the medicine cabinet or whatever and three or four things fall down and your toilet lid is up. It all goes down the toilet. Ours is literally that way. I have a thing I say to myself, you got to automatically shut the toilet, because you go up here to the medicine cabinet, sometimes it falls down. So, you know, how many of you get up and one thing happens to another, and then all of a sudden you walk out and there's Shirley, and so, whoopee, you know? And then, and you can just let it metastasize. But, or you can stub your toe, you go in, do all, you just do it all, just pick it all up. Do not let it have dominion over me. Good morning, Shirley. How you doing, honey? I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. You know? And you can really mean that. So you can go one way or the other. Go one way or the other.
And you spill all your makeup in the toilet.
All right. We want to close this out here. In verse 136, my eyes shed streams of water. Verse 136. Because they do not keep thy law. My eyes shed streams of water. Because I do not keep thy law, I have failed. Wow. And verse 176, the bottom part of the sandwich, from the beginning to the last, once again, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Much more to be said for those that are here, and even those who may be listening. But perhaps what has been said will be helpful for you to understand the importance of asking the Lord to order your steps, order your attitude, order your ways throughout this day, the rest of this day, tomorrow, the next day, for the rest of your life, because Jesus is coming soon for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Not that you can make yourself or iron it out, all the spots and wrinkles, because you can't, but we've been washed in the blood of Jesus. He's coming for those who have been cleansed in His precious blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you have not come to a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, those of you that may be listening to this message, I pray that you will, because God did give and God did love the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is a God of love reaching out to a world, but He will not make the world come to Him. He will not make the world pray a prayer for Him to order their steps to make sense out of a life. He will not force our government or our legislatures or our lawmakers to change. That'll have to come from their heart like it came from Abraham Lincoln's heart. To say to a nation at that time, it's a good idea if we get on our knees here. And it's a good idea if we get on our knees today. I see a slowness in doing that. But there are people in government who do love the Lord, who do pray, who meet to pray, and all those things, they are there. But there is a multitude who do not. Do not let them dictate the man or woman that you are today. Let the Word of God dictate who you are or who you are not today. Praise the Lord. Order my steps, Lord. Order my steps. Help me to be the woman and the man you call me to be. May God bless you. I hope you download this message today into your hearts and your minds, and I hope you go out and apply it. God bless you.